Blog Talk Radio.
All right. There we go. Well, we got to get back here to these guys. I can do this without two screens. I really can do this without two screens, Brother Dan. Brother Dan and I were talking about the benefits of two screens. And once you learn how to use two screens, you never want to be again without them. Because it just makes it all work so much better. Now, welcome YouTube, welcome Blog Talk Radio, welcome Facebook Live. Glad to have y'all with us. Wait, Facebook Live there. Where did the mouse go? Brother Roger, I don't know if you received my text. I'm going to plan. I was spammed 6 times by saying I agree with you. Do you want me to go to plan B? Well, your big statement wasn't made visible for everybody, but it's a visible statement now, so you're welcome to stay there if you'd like, brother, and you're welcome to come on over to Zoom too if you want to do that. So we're going to get right to the word, because I don't know how long they're going to have their doors open for us to sit here. It says till 10 o'clock, but let's get right to the word of God tonight. And that way we get our mission accomplished and can keep on moving. I am not drinking a Slurpee. I'm drinking a... What am I drinking?
Dr. Pepper.
And just so you know, Rivers, Dr. Pepper is better than Coke any day of the week.
What am I drinking? Hey, doctor, any day.
Now, here we go. Let's get to Messenger. And we'll invite a few of our friends. There we go. We got all those guys invited. Gotta love it. No, we're not leaving Michigan yet, Roger. It's too big a mess out there to take off out of here at this point. And ain't no sense of driving out there and then having to sleep in a rest area, because you can't go no farther till they get the roads opened up. And some of them places got 22 inches of snow, and then the wind. Literally, those pictures I posted on Facebook, that was not our garage door, but Dave said that's what our garage door looked like. And that one picture of the cars in the parking lot at night, that was literally the airport. They closed the airport because it wasn't safe to land an airplane. They couldn't keep the runway cleared off. And it just kind of shuts everything down for 2 or 3, 4 days. And Brother Dave said in our city, in Williston, that most of the roads were open, except ours. Anyways, we're going to be here. And then we're helping Sister Donna with her house. And then Saturday night, we'll be back at Sister Francetta's, and we'll have a sunrise service Sunday morning. As long as it's not blowing snow here. I mean, we're on the southern Michigan border.
And then we'll still have a sunrise service. It just may be from inside.
It may be inside as we watch the sun come up. That'll be Sunday. Then we'll see where things are at from there. So, you ready? How about we... what time is it? 47. Now, let's just get started. Open your Bibles up and let's just go get our study going right now.
YouTube.
YouTube's up. Blog Talk Radio's up. Is YouTube not up?
I'm not showing it up.
All right. How about now?
Yes.
All right. Welcome, YouTube. next time, YouTube, show up a little earlier. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to talk about what Jesus was doing when he was in the grave. Because, you know, with our Jesus, he never was sitting around doing nothing. I'm going to need mine too, man. Got cold all of a sudden. I might even have to put my hat back on. Or is it just all the blood's going to digest the food now? All right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 7 through 10. Now that's a completely different set of verses than what we normally read here. But it's designed to take us right to the place where we are going to be talking about what Jesus was doing. They can't stop me. They can't stop me. Roger, you just keep doing it. Unless they make a serious threat, you just keep doing what you're doing.
Yep.
And we don't even know what a serious threat is, so just keep doing what you're doing. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Let me see if I can do this without covering up my mic. Here we go. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Tonight's teaching is Jesus preached to the captives. Right? Jesus preached to the captives. To each one of us, grace was given. Verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That's an interesting statement about Jesus. Now, verse 9. Now this, he who ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? So, for those who would say, well, you know, Jesus didn't go to hell, or as some would say, to Hades. What are you going to do with that verse? It says right there, it just says it. He, verse 9, now this, he who ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now, what we've been talking about the last 2 days, and we'll talk about it again tonight, is what was Jesus doing when he was in hell? That's a good question. No. What was he doing for 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth? Jesus said it to the disciples. He said it so many times that the scribes and Pharisees believed it, because during his judgment, they questioned him on it. And then at the crucifixion, they were standing there mocking him, saying, you said you could come back in 3 days. and they mocked him on it. Now, here we have it in verses 9 and 10, Ephesians 4, 9 and 10. He who also ascended first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended. Now, let's grab another verse that just comes to me now. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Let's go read this. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Now hold your place right here. I know you got to have lots of placeholders when you're following me, but I like it that way. That just means we got a lot of verses. Luke 16. And let's see. Here we go. Verse 19. Did I give you the verses effectively? 19 through 31. All right. There was a certain rich man.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, so Gary.
Good to have you with us.
There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who laid at the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that when the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. Now this is Jesus teaching us about hell and the afterlife, which many people say Jesus didn't teach about. But Jesus can't lead the captivities captive unless he goes and preaches to them. Jesus couldn't destroy the power of death unless he destroyed the power of Satan, who had the power of death. So Jesus had to go fight in hell. There's a battle going on. And this would be Friday night. So Jesus has one more day and one more night in the grave before he's going to rise again. Watch. Verse 23, and being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried out to him and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, you might look at that and say, well, but that was then, and this is now. That's what many people say. There's no hell now. A good God would never send anybody to hell. No, he wouldn't. A good God made a provision of Jesus' life and blood and sacrifice so that you and I wouldn't have to go to hell. That's what the good God did. Say it with me. He has already made a way.
He's already made a way
for us. And so this is a place for those who refuse to accept the good work that he has done for them. Now, just in case you've never heard about that or known that, I would encourage you right now, everybody just say it with me. From a heart of faith, just say, I receive what you've done for me, Jesus.
I receive what you've done for me, Jesus.
Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Now, you might say, yeah, but I don't even understand what it is. It doesn't matter if you understand what it is. Receive it done in your life so that no matter what's going on in your life, the good things of God are coming to you. And then you and I will continually study what he did and how it affects our life in this day. Let's keep reading. I'm in verse 25. Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those who from here, from there, pass to us. Abraham's telling him, there's people in his bosom that would go to hell and get people out of there. And naturally, the people in hell are trying to get out of there. But it can't happen. Verse 26, besides all, no, 27. He said, I beg you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. I've got five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also succumb to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, here he is in hell. He's arguing with Father Abraham. Don't argue with God or his servants. No, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they hear. Neither will be they will be persuaded, even if one rise from the dead. You and I can see right here in this verse that hell and the afterlife is real. Now, I'm not going to teach about hell tonight. Just from this point of view, that's where Jesus is right now. And he's dealing with that enemy. Today at the noon prayer, we talked about the verses in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Go with me there and we'll read those verses again right now. You know, it's interesting because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will tell you exactly what the humans were doing on the earth during those 3 nights and 3 days when Jesus was in the center of the earth. But it doesn't tell you what Jesus was doing. And his body wasn't just laying there on a cold slab. Remember what the Apostle Paul taught us, instant death is instant glory. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, you and I, we have human bodies. He himself likewise shared in the same. I love this verse. That he, Audrey Van Gessel, welcome, Rebecca. That he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. And who is that? That is the devil. Verse 15. So what did Jesus do? He released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Say it. Jesus set me free.
Jesus set me free.
Set me free. He destroyed him who had the power of death, and that's the devil, and he set you free from every bit of bondage, every fear, everything that was going to come into your life to cause us to be weak or not make it. Now watch this. Jesus had to go where that death was to defeat it. He had to go to, I don't know, people disagree with the fact that we say Jesus went to hell and they're like, well, no, he didn't. How did he beat that enemy? How did he make a public, open shame of him? Unless that's where he went, because that's what Jesus had to do. Now, let's keep going. I'm in verse 16. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he gives aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he has been made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. How you doing, man?
Good, you guys.
To make propitiation for the sins of the people. In that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to assist those who are being tempted. That's verses 16 through 18. Now, you and I, in 2022, were made for this generation. God put his spirit on the inside of us. God designed us for this age. God put answers on the inside of us that no other generation has had. God has placed you and I here on this earth for such a time as this. Romans chapter 10, verse 29 says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And that just means God has put you here on purpose. He's not taking it back. He's not going to say, oops, I didn't mean to have you here. I should have put you there in 1800. No, he's going to continue to be looking at us saying, no, I designed you for this day on this earth. Learn who I am. Our biggest problem is we've had a picture of God that's religion and not who he actually is. But that's what we do here is we're like, no, we're going to get this Bible open and we are going to come to an understanding of who God actually is in our life. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2 and let's read verse 8 and 9. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we do not yet see all things put under him. Think about that statement. God sent Jesus to hell, to Hades, and in so doing, he sent him there to get all things put into subjection underneath of his feet. Now, when you start thinking about the fact that all things were put underneath of his feet. And then I love how it says it. And just so you know, there was not anything that wasn't put under his feet. Look at how it says it. He left nothing that is not put under him. So if Jesus, no, not it. Since Jesus lives in you, and all things are under his feet, and you are in him, all things are under our feet if we are in Christ Jesus. Verse 9, Hebrews 2:9. For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Jesus went there, did that, dealt with it, and kept moving. Let me look at something here. I gotta just take a real quick look. Everybody just get up and run around the room, shout glory, hallelujah, or something. You know, usually when we get in a public setting like this where we got a little bit more restriction on us than what we like, but where did I just see that? There it is, 488. All right. That is not what I was looking for. Everybody hang on a second. Christ. 372 is where we was at. There we go. Now, wow, this is really good. Here we are. So what we're seeing tonight is that Jesus is going to hell. We started out in Ephesians 4, verse 8, where it said, he who ascended, and we all know Jesus ascended to heaven. The disciples all stood there. In Acts chapter 1, I got me a Missourite with me tonight saying, no, show me. I want to see that. All right, let's go there. Acts chapter 1, let's just go there, where it's talking about he who ascended. That's not happening yet for another 50 days, but we might as well go ahead and read it because that's what Ephesians is telling us. Don't you just love reading the Word and studying? I do. And I do enjoy reading it with you. There we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus is ascending. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, just kind of sort of appeared, you know, two angels, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now, this is after the day of Pentecost. This is after the disciples have seen him over and over. And then he said, meet me on the top of the mountain. And Jesus went up on the mountain and they met him up there. And so he ascended. That's what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 is talking about. And when we see this, we can see how there's a picture of what Jesus is doing in the New Testament, even if it's not a message that everybody preached. Now, it's not like we shouldn't preach that Jesus rose from the dead. We got to preach that message. But we should also understand what he was doing while he was in the grave. Why? Because that is where he crushed the power of the enemy and led captivity captive. Now, let's go back here. Let me get this again. I want us to go now to Psalm 53. No. Isaiah. Sorry about that. Isaiah 53:12. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Now watch this. This is, of course, Isaiah is the story about the suffering Savior. Isaiah, the story about the Savior completely is the whole book of Isaiah. And then Isaiah 53 is about Jesus suffering. What verse did I tell you? 53:12. Well, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. That's what Jesus did. When he's bearing this wickedness and the sin and sorrow and sickness. Let's go back to verse number 3 and we'll read 3 through 7. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid as it was our face from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. If he bore them, why do we have to grieve? Bear them. Because man told us that you'll never get past grief. You'll never get over it. It'll be with you forever. Well, that's not what that verse said, is it? He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Let him carry it. I love it. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth. That's why you and I can say he was a lamb slain standing in the midst of hell. 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who will declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of the people, he was stricken. This is what Jesus was doing when he was suffering. And now that the suffering has happened and he died, he's now in hell beating the sorry stuffings out of hell, man. That's a bad way to say it. That's the old Kentucky way of saying it. The Bible way of saying it is he was crushing Satan's head. Amen. And putting him in his place. And Hebrews chapter 2 says he was defeating him who had the power of death, even the devil. And, of course, he got it done. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. They made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he'd done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. He did it. There's no way you and I can carry that. Quit saying you got to carry these burdens like this. You can't do it. When you make his soul an offering for sin, you will see his seed. That's us. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Now, you might want to add a verse right there. I never saw that before right now. And be satisfied. That takes you over to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, where it says that Jesus he endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God for the joy that was set before him. Well, there it is again. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. That's joy. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. I will divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. Look at this. He was numbered with the transgressors. He went to where the transgressors was. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's look back here again. I want us to read a very interesting verse that I don't think I've ever heard read yet. That's Daniel chapter 2. Watch this. Ezekiel, Daniel 2. This is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Two thirty-four. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. That piece of stone that was hewn out was Jesus. Not made with man's hand. This is a prophecy of Jesus. 35. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. He carried them away, so there was no trace of them found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. You ever seen a stone grow? But this stone did. It became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, let's grab that verse. That is Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Is it Hosea? No, it's not Hosea. It's the verse that says, "And the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain." Is that Joel 2? Ezekiel, Daniel. Wow, I'm used to have that one right on the tip of my tongue. Joel chapter 2. Wow. Isaiah 2.
Dan get it?
No, I don't know. Did he?
Oh, I don't know. You said Isaiah 2.
Yeah, it's Isaiah 2. No, I got it. The Holy Spirit kind of broke through all McDonald's and all that crazy noise that's going on in the background and got me to my right verse, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Watch this. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." Verse 3, "Many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord." That's what he just said was going to happen in Daniel. "To the house of God of God, he will teach us his way, and we'll walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall come forth the law." Now, what am I showing us tonight? Jesus went to hell, preached to the captives. He was continually busy. When would God ever sleep? He never would sleep. So once Jesus crossed that threshold of death, he never was going to be back to his human form again. He was now born again from the dead, and he was back being able to walk through the wall, walk into the room, do the things that he did, because now he's the sinless lamb sacrificed. He's the faithful high priest. So he's got to now go to hell as a man. He died as a man, went into hell, but there's no sin on him. He just carried it and left it there. That's why it has no power over you and me. Let's keep reading here. Oh, that's a powerful verse. Matthew 12:20. This is another prophecy. Matthew 12:20. This is another prophecy about Jesus. And yet it's a powerful word for all of us. Matthew 12:20. Look at this. Well, we might as well read the whole prophecy. Let's read 15 through 21. I just wanted verse 20, but we got to read the whole thing. Sister Phyllis is with us. Thank you, Sister Phyllis, and all the rest of you that's like, read the whole thing. If you're making comments tonight, I cannot see them because I have to be able to see my notes here, and there's just too many different screens up on my computer to be able to keep track of all of it. If we get a mess over on YouTube, make sure you let me know because I'm not watching it, all right? Here we go. Verse number 15, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, great multitudes following, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles." Want to say it with me? I'm a Gentile, and Jesus declared justice to me.
Jesus declared justice to me.
He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Look at this verse 20. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench till he sends forth justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will trust. There's a good verse to get into and dig it out when we get out of this season of Holy Week. Till he sends forth justice to victory. That's what Jesus is doing in hell. He is destroying him who has the power of death. That is the devil. I love it. Till he sends forth justice to victory. Let me grab one more verse here. I got me a list of verses in the back of my Bible. It is Revelation chapter 5. We're going to end up back here in 1 Peter chapter 3. Revelation chapter 5. Let's see. There we go. Let's do Revelation 5, 2 through 11. Revelation chapter 5, 2 through 11. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seal? No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to even look at it." Well, I never saw that before. Or to even look at it. Not just read it, but to even look at it. It's underlined, but I just don't know that I ever thought about it before. It's okay. I wept much because no one was found worthy. Verse 5, one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals." Now, the word prevail means what? It means there was a battle. It means there was a battle, and Jesus won. He prevailed in that battle. Well, where's that battle at? He led captivity captive. He ascended, descended, and when he did, he led captivity captive. He prevailed over captivity. He defeated the power of death, hell, and the grave. Jesus did.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hold on just a second. I got to circle that word. He has prevailed. I like that. And I gotta add my verses there. Ephesians 4, 8, and Hebrews. They're just not in there, and they should be in there. 14 through 15. You gotta have those verses in there because those are the winning verses. And we might as well throw 1 Peter, 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20. All right, there we go. Now, let's keep reading. I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal." Here's what we're going to see. This is what we're seeing in Holy Week. "For you were slain. When you were slain, You redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. Jesus did the work. You and I get the blessing. Kathy Marie Angaroni, welcome. Good to have you with us. And have made us kings and priests. Not only did Jesus give us victory, he makes us into kings and priests if we will let him. You ever notice that there's a big clause there? If we will let him, he'll make us into kings and priests unto our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Verse 11, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. What happened as soon as he died? He received power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, every creature, even those in the sea, are going to say, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. You can literally see in these verses what Jesus is doing in the grave right now. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us every day. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Jesus, help me. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read.
Hi, Kathy. Drive safe.
Driving home. Keep your eyes on the road. Keep your ears open, but your eyes on the road. Amen. 18 through 22. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 22. Look at this one now. For Christ also suffered once for sins.
Wow.
The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Let's add that verse there, just a reference point, Romans 8:11. Since the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, all right? So Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is raising him from the dead. That's just a reference point. I want that verse in there when you're studying it next time. 19. No, hold on just a second. I'm going back and I'm in 1 Peter 3:18. I got you completely confused.
Yeah.
Sorry. Where do I need to help?
Romans 8:11. Putting them right now every place.
All right. That's cool. That was just a reference point. Now we're back in verse 1 Peter 3:18. Now watch this. That he might bring us to God, the just had to suffer for the unjust so he could bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. So Jesus' ministry and his mission in these 3 days is to go and preach to those spirits that are in prison. Now, he's not doing that in his flesh because he can't get to hell in his physical body. He had to do it in the realm of the spirit because once you close your eyes on this earth, you're in one of the other places. There's no other way around it. Now look at verse 20. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. This is interesting. And we're not going off on that little rabbit trail or up that creek. There is also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, answer of a good conscience toward God. And how do you get that? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're buried with him in baptism so that we may rise again to a new life. I just love this. 21, I'm going to read it again. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the last statements, I think that it is the next to the last statement that Jesus made on the cross. I think the last statement, of course, it is finished, but the next to the last statement that Jesus made was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why did Jesus need to make that as that last statement? Well, next to the last statement, when he was hanging on the tree, because when he entered hell, he needed to make sure there was no unforgiveness and no sin that was connected to him at all, so that he could be the propitiation. He could provide the redemption. He could provide the forgiveness of sin, the justification, because he entered hell with no sin in his life. I just thought maybe I had them back here. But I don't have them like I thought I did. But it is all right. Yeah, I'm missing one of them, two of them. But anyways, now I'm back here in First Peter. First Peter, 21. There's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 22, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. There's another one of those verses right there that shows us that what he did during these 3 days is he went and forced our enemy to be subject underneath of his feet. The devil is full of sin. Jesus had no sin. So it was not a challenge for Jesus to crush him. But it must have taken 3 days. On 1 Peter 3:22, I'm going to write in my Bible a couple other verses. You might want to write them in too. I don't know if you guys do that or not, but I'm going to write them in right now. And he's at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. I'm going to add to that Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 18 through 23. And then I'm going to run over here to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to put that verse in there too, because I want this verse to get in all my references.
Did you say these guys closed the dining room at 10?
No. Why, what time is it?
9:37.
Thank you. You're doing a wonderful job. This is 1 Peter 3:22. I'm going to put that right there. Right there. Where it says in verse 21, Ephesians 1:21, he put him far above all principalities and powers. Now, we have a whole list of verses tonight that are showing us what Jesus is doing when he's in hell. He went and preached to the captives that were actually in hell. The wicked. What happened to them people? Well, I don't know what to tell you what happened to them. I'm really getting serious this year with figuring out what this is all about, so I don't have a verse to tell you. You know, I could give you speculation, but speculation is only built on what you don't know. It's not built on what you do know. And this is what we do know. Jesus went and preached to them. We can see it right here. He's preaching to the captives. Now, and coming out of hell, let's go back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse number 8. And like Sister Leanne said, we're going to have to bring this to a close. To be saving thing for communion. Thank you guys for your faith, your prayer, and your partnership. You guys are great people and you're great
Amen.
Partners.
Yes, you are.
And you guys are the most faithful people to us. Never seen anything like this. And we're out here every day doing our best to make everything happen that needs to happen and saying, God, take us to a new level. This is what it looks like when you go to a new level. Everything that's going to come against you and just keep fighting because he's got a new level for you. And I know his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's the Bible. I know. But every great leader in the kingdom fought a battle. And it's not coming from God. It's coming from our enemy. I'm in Ephesians 4:28. Some of you were like, come on, Pastor, talk about that. No, I got to go. Ephesians 4:28. Look at this. No, 4:8. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Of course, we know the gifts he gave. We see them in verse 11, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Who was that? That was the five parts of who Jesus was on this earth. He led captivity captive. He made a captive of captivity, bound it in chains, and he gave gifts to men. Now, verse 9, he who ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And when... The word of God just flows. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power just flowing. Ephesians 1:23. Ephesians 1:23 says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This, all you got to do is study this book enough. But you start coming to these understandings. And then as you study, the Holy Spirit of God fills you with revelation and knowledge and understanding. Now, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2. And this will be my last verse for tonight. It really will be because we do have to get out of here. And I don't want these people to have to come and say, it's time for you to leave.
So Facebook is not letting me put anything in anymore. So I'll Facebook get the rest of the verses on the family.
It's not letting Sister Leanne put any more verses in, so you'll see them in the family thread. Make sure you add them to your notes because it's good. In Michigan or Wyoming, we are in Wyoming, Michigan. It's a city in Michigan. Everybody's like, you're in Wyoming? What are you doing there? Look at this. Where did I tell us to go?
You didn't. Hebrews.
Hebrews, yeah. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise also shared in the same. He had to come. Jesus. Wow, it's amazing how much that music is affecting how I'm flowing here. What? Jesus came, and he's in the flesh, and he is on purpose in the flesh, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be considered equal with God, made himself of no reputation. That was the verse I was trying to get to. Made himself of no reputation. Why? So that he could be like we are, suffer like we suffer, win, overcome, and then give us the power to overcome. That through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, it's one of the most It's one of the most powerful truths of the New Testament of Jesus' resurrection power. Go with me to Matthew. I told you one more verse, but I got to give you this one. 51 through 53. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holiest city and appeared to many. These people who were raised from the dead went and appeared to many other people, so that they were like, I want you to see me, that I'm here. My Jesus just told me to show up here to you. Huh? God Almighty told those people to go show up and appear to many different people. I love that verse. That is Acts chapter 1, verse 3. By many infallible proofs, he revealed himself to everybody around. No matter who you have in your family that doesn't know Jesus, don't you ever stop saying, I remit their sins, Jesus. Don't you ever stop saying, speak to them by an infallible proof. Don't you ever just throw your hands up and say, what's the use? No, somebody stood in the gap and made up the hedge for you, and you stand in the gap and make up the hedge for them, because that's the answer in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. It's a very interesting study tonight. God's given us a bunch of good verses. What? How many? Can you count how many verses we had? Sister Leanne will give us a count. Here. Sixteen verses. And there's probably more than that because I'm throwing verses all night long by the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of nights we've had 16 verses. That music in the background, it is interesting how much effect that has on the anointing and the focus. We've overcome. We've had a great program. This will be live. It's in the background. And what's interesting is it's the music that was being played when I was growing up in my teenage years. And isn't it something that that's in a restaurant known for little kids and the Happy Meals, and the Jungle Gym plays, and they're playing that kind of music? Aren't you glad that Jesus set us free from everything in our lives in Jesus' mighty name? Now, I really want to be done before they would come and say, you got to leave. So I'm going to... This is very difficult for me to say tonight, but I'm going to have you take communion in your house. without me. I don't even know if we can say that. Is it legal to say that? But I really want to get...
It is. You encourage it all the time.
I want us to get ourselves into our next position we got to get into for tonight. And then there will be no noon prayer tomorrow. And Saturday night, we'll be back for a question and answer session about Holy Week. Ask lots of questions. Ask me your greatest questions about Holy Week throughout this next night. And let's make it an amazing time because Jesus' ministry in death was about over, and he was ready to rise from the dead. Do you think that stone that Jesus made actually had any control over him that they put in the front of that tomb? Jesus created that stone. He was the creator. Jesus created that mountain that they buried him in. Jesus created the tree that he was crucified on. Jesus created the iron that the nails were made of. The hammer was made of. He created the leather that whip was made of. Jesus was the creator and submitted himself to his creation so he could forever be the faithful high priest for you and for me. And he crushed the power of death. It has no power. Luke 10:19, he's given us power over all the power of the enemy. He said, you're going to crush the serpents and over all the power of the enemy. Mark 16:17 says, he's given us power over all the serpents. Nothing shall by any means hurt us in any way. I encourage you on this night, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Wow. Just feels completely weird to not have communion. Doesn't it? Isn't that interesting? I love it that that's the case with us. Maybe we should just do it anyways. No, we got to run. All right. We're going to receive communion on our end. We're going to get out of here so that we do our duty here. And we call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody help me know how to end this.
Love you guys. Have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Have a blessed day tomorrow.
Let's get Sister Phyllis to give us our verse of scripture from Jude. He's waiting for you to give us the verse of scripture from Jude.
You, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our
Lord Jesus Christ. Well, glory, hallelujah, Phyllis. Keep going.
On some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Brother Dave, it's good to see you, man. Tonight, we're just bringing it to a close. We got to be done early here at the McDonald's. but we call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. It's going to be available on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. Let me just grab that link real quick. Thank you, Sister Phyllis, for sharing that verse with us. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, I love it, before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and dominion, majesty and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. I love it. I just said it again, even though Phyllis read it, because I just love those verses, the power that's in it. Those of you that are on Facebook, I've given you the YouTube channel and the Blog Talk Radio channel so that you can be enjoy that. Hey, there you go. Mary Pastorix with us over there on YouTube. Gail Blunt's with us. Weeping Willow. All right. God bless you guys. This is really weird for me to end without communion, but I got to go. And I call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead, Phyllis.
No, it's me, Sunday.
Yes.
I have to tell you something today. It's a testimonial. My daughter took me out to lunch, and this woman that was working there, Chris says, I know her. And she says, I haven't seen her in a long time. She lost a lot of weight. And come to find her cancer come back. This woman glowed, you know, and I asked her, I said, do you mind if I pray with you? And this is a public restaurant, you know. And I prayed with her. And
amen.
Chris prayed with her. We had a prayer meeting right there.
Come on.
And I feel the Holy Spirit all over. And I said, thank you, Lord. You know, and I told cancer to go away, you know, and I said, Jesus, she has your DNA.
Amen. Amen.
And I spoke life to her. So I just wanted to give you that, you know, I was real happy with that. First time I ever did that in my life.
Is that right?
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I prayed for people, but not like out public. I didn't care. I said, this has got to be done.
Amen.
This has got to be done. Amen. Amen and amen.
That's
and amen.
Awesome.
What a, that's a
love it.
And you know, we see the same thing everywhere we go, and you know, I've become, never mind, I'm not going to go there. That's going to take me way off again. We'll get that to you next time, and until we see you again, in the name of Jesus, cancer must go. Remember this, we're not going to be here tomorrow at noon, but we'll be here Saturday night for question and answer. Holy Week, question and answer. Send me some good questions by email or message or text about Holy Week, and we'll have a good time tomorrow in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this, we love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.